Well, if you'll open your Bible to the book of, open your Bible to page 1068 would be a good place to open it. That is the book of Hebrews. It gets us to where I want us to go today. You know, the book of Hebrews is a very interesting book in the New Testament. It's probably one of those books that is not read as often as the other books especially, but yet there are some tremendous Bible verses and lessons in the book of Hebrews. Now, you know, the whole purpose of the book of Hebrews is that many of the people that had been raised in Judaism with a Levitical system of having sins forgiven, many of these had become believers. In other words, they had become Christians. They believed Jesus was Messiah. So they left their Jewish faith to embrace the Christian faith. Now that may not seem as huge to you as it really is. It's not like a Methodist joining a Presbyterian church or a Presbyterian joining a Baptist church or whatever. For a Jewish person, a person of the Jewish faith, to embrace Christianity and believe Jesus Messiah would be a huge thing. Well, what was happening, though, many of them were being tempted to go back to their old Levitical system. And the book of Hebrews is an encouragement to them not to do that. In fact, if you'll turn back just a page or two, in chapter number 6, verse 1, I'll show you a verse. It's a key verse in the book of Hebrews. And with my little comment I just made, it'll make more sense. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ," now here comes the key, "let us go on to perfection." To maturity. So the writer to the book of Hebrews is saying to these believers that are thinking about, going back to the old way, he said, no, don't do that. Go on, go forward, go to maturity, and encourage them to stick to the faith. And so, and that's the gist of the whole, that one verse kind of is the anchor of this whole book. Now, when we come over to chapter 10, it's interesting. So you could really say basically the book of Hebrews was written to believers. But when you come to chapter 10, there's this little section that we're going to be in today that was written to those who had not yet become believers. And it's very interesting because in this little section in Hebrews chapter 10, down in verse 22 is absolutely one of the most encouraging verses in all the Bible. Look at it with me. He says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Now, that little phrase, if you had your Bible, I'd encourage you to underline it. It says, "Let us draw near." So he's saying to these people that are not believers, what you need to do, you need to draw near to God. It's really one of the most encouraging things in all the Bible. In other words, think about it a moment. As holy as God is, and as sinful as man is, what the Bible is saying to sinful man, even though you are sin personified, no matter how bad, and even though God is totally holy, God is saying, I ask you to draw near to me. I ask you, you have the opportunity to come to me. Now, it's very interesting. If you look back in verse 20, he explains how they can do that. Now, here are these people who have been Jewish by faith, believing in all the Levitical priesthood, all the teachings, and all the things that go along with that. They've left that. They've become believers. But now here these are that have not done that at all. And he said to them, you can do what these others have done. And the way you do that, he says in verse 20, it is by a new and living way, which he, that is Jesus, consecrated for us through the veil, that is, in his flesh. So how does sinful man come to a holy God? Well, not through all the Levitical teachings that they had been taught, but simply by a new and living way. And of course, he mentions this, the veil here. Now remember, and you would remember this just from having heard about Old Testament Bible stories or read them. You know, in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, and then later on in the temple, there was a veil. And that veil separated the people from the Holy of Holies. And it's very interesting. In fact, that veil would just have been a way of saying to the people in the Holy of Holies, God is here and sinners keep out. The veil didn't have a sign saying sinners keep out, but that's exactly what the veil meant. In other words, God is in here and sinners are not to come in here because this is where the Holy God is. Sinners have to stay on the other side of the veil. But then it was like the veil gave an entrance for the high priest to go inside, but it barred entrance from the people going inside. The high priest would go in once a year and offer prayers for the sins of the people. Now, and you look in verse 20, what the writer's saying here, and we don't want to get bogged down in a lot of deep stuff, but I'm going somewhere with this. You'll just hang with me a moment. This is very, very practical in our everyday life. He's saying that Jesus' body is like the veil in the church. Look at it again, a veil in Christianity. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. In other words, there was a veil in the temple, but now on the cross, Jesus' body, his flesh, has become, it's the new and living way. It's not like it's been in the temple. It's not like it's been in the tabernacle. You remember when Christ was crucified. You read over in the book of Matthew in chapter 27, when Christ was on the cross and was crucified, the Bible tells us that that the veil was torn from top to bottom by the invisible hand of heaven. The Bible doesn't tell us, except the veil was torn from top to bottom. But that was God himself in his own way. And what this has tremendous meaning. This verse 20 has such tremendous meaning. This new and living way is through the veil that is his flesh. Now, you say, well, how does that have practical meaning to us? Well, first of all, it means that sinful people can come to God. Could I have an amen on that? And we're all sinful people. Everybody on the earth is sinful. And the good news is that because of what Christ did on the cross, his body actually became like the veil, no longer saying sinners keep out. In fact, he's saying just the opposite back in our verse today. In verse 22, it says, let us draw near. Now, that word, those words, draw near, come from a Greek word, and here translated, draw near. Now, an English word that would represent the same idea would be the word come, C-O-M-E. So you really would be right as you looked at that verse, let us draw near, talking about drawing near to God. Let us come to God. And how we come to God is this new and living way. We have Christ, his flesh, as the veil. You know, the first book written that we have in the New Testament is the book of James. And the very same thing is said in the book of James where the Bible says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And so the veil has been torn and Jesus is the way to God. I'm so glad for that. But you know, there's a lot of confusion about that. And I hope you're not confused by any of that. There are many people, good people, very sincere people. Now, people that are not sincere people or even serious about God at all don't even give it a thought. They're busy doing other things, thinking about other things. But one of the tragedies of religion today is that many people believe that rituals and symbols and good deeds and a good life and church membership and baptism and even just saying, I believe there's a God, is how we're going to go to heaven. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Now, enough deep stuff for a moment. You say, well, you know, what makes this exciting to you? Well, two things about these verses make it so exciting to me. Number one, as I think about what's being said here and think about, now, how does this fit me? What does this have to do with me? Well, my number one thing is I want to know for sure that one day I'm going to heaven. Now, that to me is very, very important. There's so much in life we don't know for sure. But here's something. I believe I'd lose my mind if I didn't have belief in that. I want to know for sure that one day I'm going to heaven, and I do. Now, you might say, well, you can't know that. Well, the Bible says you can. John says over in 1 John, he says, these things I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. So, you know, there's much in the Bible that tells us you know that if you're a believer or not a believer. Now, so I'm glad for that. It's, you know, and I thank God that years long ago that I realized that it wasn't joining the church, it wasn't all that, even though that's what believers do good things, and believers do need to be in God's church, and believers do need to follow in obedience and baptism and many other things. But none of that, that's a result of being a believer. That's not what makes you a believer. Now, the second thing that really speaks to my heart about this is I think about one day being in heaven, and I think myself, you know, when I get to heaven, I just want to see some people in heaven that I knowingly or unknowingly help know about God and how to go to heaven. Now, to me, that's very, very important. I'd hate to think that I'd live my whole life and I've never helped anybody know how to go to heaven, you know. And but sometimes you do that knowingly. You know, the Bible says he that wins souls is wise. I saw a translation the other day that inverted that and says, he who is wise wins souls. And I thought, well, now, which way's right? And then I thought, well, both are right. It's exactly, there's no question about it. He that wins souls is wise. Well, that's true. Well, he that is wise wins souls. So, you know, there are opportunities to share with people how to become a Christian, or maybe pray for someone to become a Christian, and you know, people you've prayed for over and over long periods of time to become a Christian. And in the last two or three weeks, in fact, one morning about 7:15 last week, I was out on our street walking, and my phone rang, and I looked at it, and thought, well, unusual time morning to get a call. And I saw the area code was over in Tennessee, and I thought, well, you know, it must be important. I need to answer this. So I did. And it was a young man. Well, he isn't young anymore. He's about 50. But he was young when I knew him. And he called to tell me that he and his brother had to move his parents from their home where they had lived all these years to put them in a kind of a semi-assisted living situation. And he said, when we did all that, He said, you may not understand this, but mother had boxes full of stuff she had saved about, they have two sons, about both of us, me and my brother. And I thought, no, I understand it thoroughly. Dottie has a lot of those boxes. And I keep saying, we need to give them the stuff now. And she said, they don't have anywhere to put it. I said, neither do we. That's why we need to give it to them. And slowly and surely, we're getting it out too. But he said, anyway, he said, I was going through some stuff that mother had put in a box. And I pulled out, I saw this piece of paper, and I opened it up. And he said, it was when I was about 8 or 9 years old, you came to our house, and you took a piece of paper, and you showed 1, 2, 3, 4. You wrote down things about becoming a Christian. You drew this little baseball field, which I've done for some. And he said, mother had put that in the box, and I'd never seen it in many, many years. Didn't know it was in the box. And he said, the reason for my call, I just am some years late, but I wanted to thank you that you came to my house, our house, and shared with me. Well, that just touched my heart. I thought, my gracious. You know, we all sometimes run 40-something years late, but it just blessed my heart immeasurably. So I want to encourage you. You know, there's just a lot of ways you can do things that's all you can do. But then unknowingly, you know, I would like to think when I get to heaven, I don't know exactly, obviously, you know, what all we'll see, how that'll be, but I do know some things the Bible teaches us. But not only do I want to see some people there knowingly that I either prayed for or shared something with, or encouraged, or gave them something to read. But maybe I want to think there'll be people there that are there that I don't have a clue specifically that I would have knowingly had any part in their being there, but yet did. You say, how could that be? Well, in a multitude of ways. First of all, and one of the by supporting those trying to do God's work out in this world. And many times we do not see like the people that they minister to, the people they share Christ with, and it's just a beautiful thing. Now, let me give you two or three quick examples that are very recent. For example, we're just blessed to kind of work with this church in Guadalajara, Mexico. It's just absolutely unbelievable what God's doing in that church. It's 2 years old, about 2 weeks ago, 2 years old. They already have 700 plus people already coming to church. 120 something people in those 2 years have left their faith that they did have and have placed their faith in Jesus Christ alone and not a church for their salvation. And they're about to begin their second campus. That's this Pastor Julio. It's just mind-boggling what God's doing there. And we've had two mission teams there this summer. But be that as it may, we sent 300 of these soul winners New Testaments down to them. And they got there about a week ago, and he took a picture on his phone and sent it to me and opened up the box. And they'll take those, and they actually just go in that huge square. I've been that square twice. And just, they're just people, unbelievable numbers of people. And they just share Christ with them and give them a Bible and show them what to read in the Bible. Now, I don't know any of the people that are being witnessed to or given a Bible to, but what I'm saying is we supported those that are doing that. And hopefully, in fact, I can guarantee some of those, because God's word never turns void, will come to know the Lord. Now, another thing very recent, this awful hurricane that just devastated the Bahamas and much of the Carolinas, but the Bahamas, like our church, we want to help those that are trying to do. Now, I draw a line in the sand. There are a lot of good ministries, organizations that help people, and we should help people. I'm for helping people, okay? We help 8 local ministries here. But the line I draw in the sand is, in helping people with their needs, somehow they need to hear about Jesus. Or we're just going to help people and feed people and clothe people and make them better on their way to hell. So that separates the church from just good organizations. So when you have something like Doran do what it did, you say, well, who is going to be out there helping? And a lot of people are going to be helping, but helping in the name of Jesus. Well, I know one, and that's Samaritan's Purse. That's the Franklin Graham's ministry, the Billy Graham Association. Here's the deal. What they do a lot of great stuff, but it's all done in the name of Jesus unapologetically. In fact, the day after the Doran just wiped the place out, the very next day, their first airplane was there, the medical plane, and have doctors and nurses and people on the ground help him. And all of that is done in the name of Jesus, and people are talked to about Jesus. So our church sent $50,000 to that for that purpose. And I do not know anybody there they witnessed to, but I can tell you this, everybody they helped they witnessed to. They're trained to do that. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. These healing verses, we gave them out here one Tuesday. That's been an interesting thing. Dottie, made that thing up for these verses. We've read these 4.5 months, and we printed up 3,000 of them and put them out, and they were just gone. They didn't even make one Sunday, both services. And I never knew that many people would be interested in that. And so I thought, well, people wanted more of them, and they're sending them places and doing things with them. All it is just a bunch of Bible verses, and she has a little preface in it. And so we got another 3,000. I thought, well, we'll use them for hospital visits. Well, they're all gone. I thought, well, we'll just see where this ship lands. We've got another 3,000 coming. It'd be about 2 more weeks before they get here. But here's an interesting thing. See, I knew God put that on my heart. I didn't think that up. God just put on my heart, this has helped you and Dottie so much, you need to let people, at least somebody, be blessed by this. Well, our folks are mailing this stuff all over creation. They first asked us to mail it. We thought, we're printing it and we're paying for it. Why don't you buy a stamp? Well, a lot less folks ask us to do that when we told them that. Well, they are buying them, and now we're beginning to just get feedback about how these verses, they're just out of the Bible, but the needs that are being met. Now, all this stuff I'm getting back, like I don't even know who these people are. They don't even all live in Texas. They just live everywhere. But I'm just saying, maybe out of even trying to help people with that, people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, like our radio ministry, John has this wonderful radio ministry. In fact, it's soon, I think it's November, it's going to be a daily one in Houston. I'm very excited about that. Now, look, we don't know who all hears that stuff, but here's the deal. Anything we can do to put the Word of God out, we'll just trust the Holy Spirit to take care of it. It's an amazing thing. I had this one envelope came in. John showed me the letter. A guy sent a check for $100, and I should have it to read what he said. He lived in North Carolina. He said, I'm a truck driver, and enclosed is a check for $100 to help pay for your radio ministry. He said, don't write me a thank you now or ever. I knew what that guy was saying. Don't get me on your mailing list wanting anything. And I thought, my gracious, I've never had a fellow from another place send money to help. But here's the deal. I'm just saying, I want to encourage you. Look, first of all, be sure you know you're going to heaven. Could I have an amen on that? But it's not just about you and me. You know, just one day when we get there, we just want to see some folks we've prayed for, talked to. And then there'll be others we won't know, but we gave to this, and we supported this, and we supported it. And they got out there and did what they can do, and we kind of held the rope back here. I tell you, heaven is going to be a sweet place. Father, thank you so much. I love that verse. Draw near to God. Come to me. And God, I thank you. You are holy God, but I thank you that what Jesus did on the cross, he didn't say, sinners keep out. He said, sinners come. And God, that's how all of us are. It is just, we're all sinners, but Jesus has paid for our sins. And God, we bless you and thank you for that. God, I thank you for this group. They're just such a blessing in so many ways. And I pray your blessings upon them. Keep them safe now. And whatever rain we're going to have this week, God, just keep us safe in all of this. Make us a blessing this week in Jesus' name. Amen.